إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are looking at the qualities of the people of Jannah, and as we said, there is no one who is an example of the people of Jannah other than Muhammad رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we talked about the first of those qualities, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I explained to you how the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a condition of iman, it is a part of iman, and without the love of Allah and without the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated in our actions, we cannot even call ourselves Muslim. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not called them Muslim, those who do not love Allah and who do not love Rasulullah. Now obviously the love of Rasulullah is not to be interpreted in terms of the excessive actions that people indulge in, which are not from the Sunnah, which are not from the Quran, and which in many cases are completely the antithesis and the opposite of what the Quran and Sunnah actually indicate. So we are not talking about that, we are talking about the real and true and sincere love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which obviously must manifest itself in the adherence to his sunnah. A person who claims to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam but does not follow the sunnah, that person's love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or rather his claim to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is false. That claim cannot be substantiated, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that all our claims are substantiated by actions. The love of Allah has to be demonstrated and substantiated by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be demonstrated and substantiated by following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the essence of La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is our kalima, and this kalima, the essence of the kalima, is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam and orders, and the following of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the expression, the manifestation, the proof in action that we are Muslims. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand this and to live our lives in accordance with this, because only in this is certainty. In the famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, all my people will enter Jannah except those who refuse. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated and said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all my people will enter Jannah except those who refuse. So the Sahaba asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse to enter Jannah? Who will refuse to enter Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who follows me has accepted, and the one who does not follow me has refused. So please understand this, he did not say the one who follows me in ibadah, he did not say the one who follows me in how he runs his house, he didn't say the one who follows me in this or that. It's a blanket statement. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extends to every single aspect of our lives and of our person, external, internal, on the face, on the body, inside the body, in the heart, in our actions, in our speech, in all the states that we might find ourselves in, in our relationships, in our muamilat, in our muashra, which is our society. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not left any part of human life untouched by its barakah. The one who does not get the barakah from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who has refused. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. The second quality of the people of Jannah is complete certainty in Islam, complete certainty in the message. This is also a critical requirement of all leadership, and this is what stands out in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his total and complete certainty about the message that he brought. Picture yourself this scene. Many of us have been for Hajj and Umrah. Imagine when you start Sa'i, you start on Safa, the top of the mountain of Safa. Of course today it's you have to imagine the mountain, because the mountain is no longer there, it's all practically level. But still they have some of the rocks are still there, they have preserved that. Imagine the scene on that particular day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam climbs that mountain, and if you can imagine or visualize, some of you, if you look at the very old, obviously there are no pictures from 1400 years ago, but some of the old pictures from the 60s and the 40s of Hajj and Umrah and so on, you will find how that place was, which is that it was the middle of a market, Safa and Marwa, until maybe the 40s and 50s, wasn't an alley like it's now. It's not a covered corridor. Safa and Marwa was lined with shops on either side. It was a street, and the Hujjaj used to go up and down in the street, and there were shops on either side. So this is what it was at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was in the middle of the market. The Haram was, the Kaaba was there, and there was the Haram was there, and the Haram was surrounded by shops. This was surrounded by shops. This was the center, this was the city center of Makkah. And the city center of any place is all shops, it's all commercial establishments. So that's why there were no houses there, except for a few. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's house was there and some other houses were there, but mostly it was all shops, and the place around the Kaaba was left open for tawaf, and Safa Marwa between the two was a street, and there were shops which were lined the street. Now imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes up on top of that and he calls out, Wa Subaha, Wa Subaha. Now Wa Subaha was like an alarm call. It was like, you know, shouting that there is great danger. So it was one of those code words, so to speak, of the Arabs of the time, that when somebody shouted that, then everyone rushed to that person, because obviously this person was going to say something which was extremely important, probably something which was a warning, which was lethal, which if you ignoring that would be lethal. It was something which was extremely important, so people would rush to that place. Now in this particular case, not only was somebody calling this call of alarm, but who was that somebody? That somebody was the one that they trusted the most. That somebody was the one that they respected and loved the most. So it was not any ordinary man. It was somebody who they gave the title of As-Sadiqul Amin. So one is somebody saying something. The other one is, depending on who says what, the same thing said by someone who you hold in very high respect, you will obviously pay far greater attention to that. So here was somebody who was not known to, he was not a rumor monger, he was not somebody who would just, you know, go off the top, he was not someone who just said something for the heck of it. It was someone who said something. If he said something, it was serious. If he said something, it was, you better pay attention to it, because it was something which was very worthwhile and worth listening to. This was Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he was not just saying something, he was giving an alarm call. So people rushed. Everyone came out of their shops and they rushed and they surrounded him. So he said to them, the famous words of the hadith which we know, he said to them, if I told you that there is an army behind this hill, and that's why you have to visualize that. Because obviously from where they were standing, they were not surrounding the whole hill. They were standing on one side of the hill, which was the side facing Makkah. Behind the hill they could not see, but obviously someone standing on top of the hill, that person could see behind the hill. So it was a very real situation. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I told you that there was an army behind this hill and they were about to attack you, will you believe me? See the imagery, see the example that he's giving. He says, if I tell you that there is an army behind this hill and they are about to attack you, will you believe me? And they said, of course we'll believe you, because why would we not believe you? You are the one we call As-Sadiqul Amin. You are the one we call As-Sadiq, the most truthful, the truthful. If you take the title, it is not Sadiqul Amin, it is As-Sadiqul Amin. As-Sadiq wa Al-Amin. So they are giving a title which is particularized, which means that they are saying this is the most truthful person. He's not just truthful, he is the most truthful person. Compared to everybody else, he is even more truthful. So here is a person who has never lied before. So they said, you never lied to us before. We trust you. We have given you this title of As-Sadiqul Amin. Of course we'll believe you. Why would we not believe you? And then he said to them, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. He said to them that if you, let me warn you, that if you do not leave these ways of worshipping idols, then be prepared for a grievous punishment. Now imagine, here is the situation where Makkah was a commercial society. Makkah was the free market of the time. The people of Makkah, especially the shopkeepers, these were capitalists. These were people who, their focus was money. Makkah was a stratified society. There were social barriers and social levels, but these could be, they were not cast in steel. They were not caste barriers. They were social barriers. Me and all of them were based on how much money you had. So if you made enough money, you could also climb up in rank in society. So it was not like a caste system where no matter how much money you make, if you belong to a lower caste, you are still lower caste. There are certain places where you will not be allowed no matter how wealthy you are. This was not like that. This was a society which was fairly open. So if you had enough money, you could even climb up in society. So money was a very strong motivator. And here was a working day, here was a business day, here were people all sitting in shops and so on and so forth, making money, doing deals, and a man calls out, and when they come running, the man is talking to them about something which has nothing to do with money, it has nothing to do with business, it has nothing to do with this life. He is talking about the life after death, which they don't believe in anyway. Now that is something that you and I need to sit and reflect on. I've said this before in some other khutbah of mine, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come and asked me, or if he goes to any PR, public relations person, and if he says to him, look, there is this message that I have to convey. And this is the message. It goes against the grain of all that people believe. It's something that they have never thought about before. I am going to be contradicting everything that they hold holy and so on and so forth. Now, what is the best way for me to convey this message? What is the best way for me to convey this message? Now, obviously, anyone within quotes, any sense in our current understanding or thinking, you would say, first, get close to the people. First, make friends with the people. First, get acceptance in the people as a leader by one means or the other. So do a lot of this groundwork. And then say what you have to say. And say it in stages. Say it softly. You know, I mean, disguise your words. Believe me, whatever people may have advised, the last thing in the world that anyone with any knowledge of public communication will advise is go stand on that hill and call people as an emergency and state it like it is. That is the last thing that anyone would advise. But that is the way of the Anbiya. Because the Anbiya don't follow your and my advice, they follow the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The way of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam is to say it like it is. Directly, clearly, without any compromise, straight from the shoulder. And that's exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So here is the situation. Whole lot of people who are focused on money and doing deals and so on and so forth. And they are called out of their places of business. And when they come, they are given a message which within quotes, according to their understanding, has nothing to do whatsoever with their life, has nothing to do with their business, is not focused on money or success as they understand it. It's a message of the other world. If you don't leave what you worship, if you don't stop worshipping idols, be prepared for a grievous punishment. Now, what was the reaction? And we know the reaction. We know the reaction. Abu Lahab was there. And Abu Lahab was one of those people who loved Rasulullah ﷺ more than his own children. When Nabi ﷺ was born, Abu Lahab freed a slave and he gave her 2 big gold bangles as a gift out of his happiness. But the same Abu Lahab was a big time businessman. He was very wealthy. When he heard this message, he cursed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cursed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on revealed the surah and sealed the fate of Abu Lahab and his wife. But Abu Lahab's reaction was not unique. That was the reaction, although others may not have used the words, but that was the reaction of the vast majority of the people who were gathered there. That what kind of waste of time is this? Why were we called? You called us for this? The reason I'm making a point of this is because to this day, this is our choice. This is our struggle. The struggle between dunya and akhirah. The struggle between living our life the way we like to live our life and living our life the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to lead our life. To this day, this is our struggle. If you think about all the decision points in your life, they all have to do with this one single point, which is what do you value more? This dunya or the akhirah? When you're shaving your beard, you're making a choice that you value your image in this dunya as you think it is compared to the image in the akhirah, which would be the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you are dealing in interest, you are making a choice between having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as your wali and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the shafi, as the one who does your shafa, and having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your enemies. When you decide to pray salah, you are making a choice of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and coming and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his court. And when you choose not to do salah, then you are making a choice of standing up in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Every single decision that we take in life, my brothers and sisters, bring it to this and think about it. You are making a choice. I am making a choice. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, life is only an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. Life is an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. My brothers and sisters, leaders, people follow leaders for many reasons. Some follow leaders because it is a trend. Some follow leaders because they are afraid of the leader. Some follow leaders because they love the leader, and so on and so forth. But the key thing to understand is nobody follows a leader who is not certain of his own message. Every leader of every kind, including some very toxic leaders, had huge followings, not even because their message was worth following, but because of the certainty with which they delivered their message. Many examples of leaders who actually were highly detrimental and whose followers suffered, but they followed them because the leader delivered that message with complete and total certainty. Now obviously there is a lesson in this, that you should also think when you are a follower, and don't just follow somebody because they are saying something with confidence. But from a leadership perspective, there's not a single instance of a leader who had anyone following him if he or she was not certain about their own message. And that is why the quality of the people of Jannah, the quality of the Prophet ﷺ and of all the Anbiya and of the Sahaba is that he had complete and total certainty in his message. Any internal doubt shakes and destroys confidence. This is true even about selling a product or a service, something that you can show to somebody to sample, something that you can demonstrate. Now imagine selling an idea which cannot even be sampled. What is Jannah? What is success in the hereafter? If someone says, show it to me, how can you show it to him? If someone says, give me a sample, let me taste. Not possible. How is it possible for the Prophet ﷺ to sell that idea something which can't even be sampled, which cannot be demonstrated. And to do that with such tremendous confidence that it didn't just stick then, but it stuck for 14 centuries where we are living now and inshallah till the day of judgment. What was that sense of yaqeen, of complete and total certainty in this message of Islam, that this is a message which has value, that this is a message which will really do good for the people who follow it. And that is what we need to develop. Today, the greatest damage to Islam is being done by apologetic Muslims, by people who are apologetic about their religion, by people who are ashamed to look like Muslims, to walk and talk like Muslims, to worship like Muslims. People who have Muslim names but who go around pretending that they are not Muslims. People who have no knowledge but who stand up and make confident statements criticizing this deen. Statements of such complete ignorance that they would be extremely funny if they weren't so stupid. These are the people who are causing the maximum amount of damage to Islam. Apologetic Muslims. Ignorant Muslims who go over the top with respect to Islam, doing extreme things which have nothing to do with Islam, who take the position that my way of practicing Islam is the only way. The only one who could say that, listen and listen carefully, the only one who could say that was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody but nobody can say that with certainty unless he wants to play with fire. This is the problem today. Ignorant Muslims and apologetic Muslims. My brothers and sisters, it's very, very important for us that we stop apologizing for Islam, for being Muslim. I've said to you before and I'm saying to you again, go and sit down in your house quietly in a room by yourself, preferably in front of a mirror so you can talk to yourself and ask yourself, am I a Muslim? Am I proud to be a Muslim? It is your choice. It is your choice. Nobody forced you to be a Muslim. Nobody today is forcing you to remain Muslim. But my submission to you is, whatever you do in life, do confidently. Don't be apologetic. Being apologetic does not serve any purpose whatsoever. You will never ever succeed in life unless you are confident. As I told you, even people who are confident about the wrong thing, they succeeded because they were confident. Alhamdulillah, you and I follow the deen brought by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A deen, a religion about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu specifically mentioned and said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah said, on this day we have perfected this, our blessing on you, and we have completed this religion for you, and we have chosen Islam as your religion. What can be a bigger certificate of the truthfulness of this faith? This is your religion, this is my religion. My submission to you is, look in the mirror, look at your face and consciously accept Islam. Do that, because one day you and I are going to be asked this question in the qabr. Ma deenuk? What is your deen? Before that day comes, let us ask ourselves this question. Sit, actually do this exercise. Sit in your house, in your room, quietly by yourself, look in the mirror and say, what is your deen? And if your answer is deen Islam, my deen is Islam, then make a qasam to yourself that from that instant onwards, you will walk and talk and look and deal like a Muslim. The example of that is what? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. and that you will never ever do anything to compromise that legacy, the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This weekend I'm doing a class on the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Saturday and Sunday, notices on the board, most welcome, please come. And last time we said free samosas and tea, so a lot of people came. This time also free samosas and tea, and it will bring more people, free biryani also. Seriously, 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 wallahi, what is the problem with accepting something which is so tremendously valuable that definitely I cannot describe the value of Islam. I don't have the words. How can I describe the value of something which Allah said, I have chosen for you? I am pleased with it for you. Radithu lakum al-Islam adina. The rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in Islam. How can I explain that? Ask your heart. Ask your own heart. Karenge bhai? We do this inshallah, right? Inshallah. May Allah give you the quwwat and the ability to accept Islam consciously and to look and walk and talk and deal as Muslims from this minute onwards till the last day you die. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you then in a state where you are a walking, talking model of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this faith and confidence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was combined with the fact that he was a man with some tremendous qualities. He was a man who was truthful. He was a man who was trustworthy. He was a man with the most beautiful manners. He was a man of flawless character. Imagine the worst of the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were looking for his faults, who went around slandering him and so on and so forth. Is there any report in the Aqwal, in the saying of Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, for example? Is there any report that they ever accused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of lying? They said he is mad. They said he is insane. They said he is Majnoon. Did they say he is a liar? Did they say he stole this from me, so don't believe him? Did they say he fornicated, so don't touch him? Imagine, these are his enemies. I'm not talking about friends and, you know, followers who embellish people's character. I'm talking about the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would have, if there was a fault, believe me, they would have found it. He was living in the middle of it. He was living in the middle of them. He was related to them. He was family. People like Abu Lahab and so on carried Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a newborn baby in their hands. Did they ever find any fault with him in terms of his character? Did they ever say he cheated? Did they ever say we found him drunk in a ditch somewhere? What is this character? That character is the basis, is the foundation of leadership. Today we are used to seeing leaders who have no character. We have become so accustomed to it. I mean, if I seriously ask myself sometimes, if I can name one leader who I would, if I had children, I would say blindly follow that person, because that's a great person to follow. And I can't think of one. Maybe there are, I don't know about them, but I cannot think of one leader on a global scale who has everything. Not only religious knowledge, not only knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, but the person is also has knowledge of politics and economics and so on and so forth. A person who is a global leader in every sense of the term, who I can say clearly, here is a man of character, here is a woman of character, here is a woman and man who has wisdom, who has understanding. You can't go wrong, just follow them. And I can't think of even one. And Rasulullah ﷺ was that one. And it is his leadership that he created others like him. There was no shortage. You didn't have to think 10 times to imagine names of people when we look at the first generation. There were many like that. People of second generation met Tabi'in, many like that. Not one. But what has happened to us today? The point of saying all this is not to send you into depression. The point of saying all this to you is that there is always a way back to the sunnah. No matter how much a sunnah has been left, there is always a way back to go to the sunnah. The way back to the sunnah is never closed. And the greatest sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is leadership. What is a Nabi if he is not a leader? And what is a leader if he has no character? Inshallah, we will come to that in the next khutbah, in terms of the character of Rasulullah ﷺ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives by that standard, a standard which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the path to that standard and to make it a means of the great barakah and so on that it is, to show this barakah in our lives, inshaAllah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.